listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with Rick Franzi and Doug Geveller.
Hello, and welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show. This is your host today, Rick Franzi. My business partner, Doug Geveller, will be hosting the show tomorrow, but I get the pleasure of hosting the show today, and it's a interesting format that we're going to embark on today. It's amazing that we are now in our 66th, on our 66th installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. Oh my goodness, how time has flew from March 2nd when we did our first show to now here it is in later in the year, in December, and we're on our 66th show. And frankly, we're coming up on our 100th guest. And so Doug and I sat down and said, you know, that's a milestone. And we should reflect for a little bit on what has transpired since we started this show and all those many guests and the transferable learning events. And so we thought, what better way to revisit the past than to go all the way back to our first show and bring on our first guest on our first show.
And still the best guest you've ever had.
In his own mind, the best guest you've ever had. Clearly in the Roberts household, and at West Coast Marketing, the best guest that we've ever been privileged to have on here on the radio show, and that's Paul Roberts, so you heard his voice. And so Paul is going to spend this hour with me, and we're going to it's going to be a combination of reflections on some of the lessons learned and maybe highlights of the past show and a bit of a conversation about how this show has actually affected Doug and my business in a way that we maybe had not expected when we embarked on this process of interviewing thought leaders and business owners here in Orange County, because as you know, our goal is to provide you with information that helps our listening audience make better, more informed decisions, because we know in working with business owners and top executives, as we have done through the Renaissance Executive Forums business here in Orange County for the past 15 years, that top executives and executives learn best through the examples of their peers. And that sharing opportunity that happens every month inside of one of our many executive forums here in Orange County has really become the vehicle and the thought that we use in delivering the content for Critical Mass, the radio show. And that's why, frankly, we think it has been so well received by the business community here in Orange County and also in points east and west. We have picked up listenership because of the vehicle that we have here, the internet radio on octalkradio.net, that spans the globe, as they say.
Yes, and it does.
Our listening audience is not restricted just to the where the signal is beamed here in Orange County, California, but it goes globally, and that's very exciting for us. So being our first guest, Paul, you can remember when we – and you were actually very helpful as also being a public relations expert, helping us really put this vision into practice and implement it. So I want to give you the proper credit you deserve for being a creative force behind Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you. Well, you know, I watched you guys grow your business in a way that everybody dreams of growing their business, in a way that everybody wants to spread the information about themselves. And it's not by putting up an ad on the side of the highway. It's not by sending out 1,000 letters. It's been through social mediums like this, ways in which you can directly communicate with your target audience, be it people that you want to do coaching for, be it people that you want to do monthly to mediate and facilitate monthly peer groups, strategic planning, all these different things that you provide companies, but you've approached it in a way that I found quite interesting. And I think it's interesting to watch how successful this whole thing has become using just social media tools like blogs, like meetups, like internet radio, you know, reaching out in very unconventional ways to find people and communicate people And I think that's an interesting case study. I really do.
Well, you know, the thank you for that. And the radio show was really an outgrowth of the fact that I had been interviewed about the book Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups on a different business talk radio show. And as our public relations expert, you helped me secure that interview, which was wonderful exposure for the book. But really, the more impactful part of that interview is Critical Mass, the radio show, which was not really in my field of view necessarily prior to when we had the opportunity, because my focus was promotion of the book and getting the word out and finding a receptive audience in Deborah Sweet, who was the host of the show, really helped to build the awareness that this type of service is available. And then the thought, how does it have a place inside of, you know, Doug and my Renaissance Executive Forums business, which we've now have rebranded to be that plus more, which is Critical Mass for Business.
Yeah, it's followed an evolution here. Well, I'll ask you, you know, you guys started this business, well, Doug's been doing it for 15 years, and you came along a year or two ago, and have grown this business tremendously over the last year, and you've done it mostly through innovative marketing, through a variety of different things here. What do you think is so popular? Why has it worked? Why has internet radio worked for you? Why has all these social mediums been such a success for you when most people listening are saying social media, boy, I've put a ton of money into it. I get no ROI. I get no return on my investment. So why has it worked for you?
I can't speak to others' experience other than the members that we have and the coaching clients and the people that we do business with that kind of, but that's anecdotally. If I look back on the, you know, if you look at our business, if you look at our peer group business, we doubled in size from a year ago today until this year, right now. So over the past 12 months, the peer group membership has doubled in its business. So it would allow me to make the claim that, you know, we are probably the fastest growing peer group organization in Orange County. Because of the fact that
you may well be in the whole country. I don't think anybody, based on what I had seen of other peer groups, has that kind of ramp up that quickly.
And that's why you're so good at public relations. You think even bigger than I did. So, yeah, maybe on a national basis, you know, what Doug and I have done has met with such positive reception. But then if I look at the other services that, frankly, a year ago we had business in this area. We've significantly grown our footprint in other services like the coaching business that Doug does, like the strategic planning that we're able to do for a company, the employee surveys. And then it builds to now we're offering services. We're planning to offer services for 2010 that we didn't have in 2009, partly because our business base is growing and our current clients are bringing us opportunities, and partly because as we continue to expand our presence here in the county and within the Renaissance Executive Forums franchisee system, people are coming to us with ideas for business ventures, whether it be our customer advisory boards, which we'll be launching in 2010, or our Chairman's Forum, which will be also launching in the first quarter of 2010. But these are services that we're adding to the Critical Mass for Business portfolio that were driven partly from our existing client base, but also from high-performing service professionals here in the county and in the Renaissance franchise system who have seen the work that we're doing and said, hey, you might be interested in this idea.
Right. Well, I'm going to expand upon that because I think you're on the cutting edge. I think you're on the cutting edge of lots of things. You know, you're on the cutting edge of what I see is a change in the way people do business. You know, when I got started in this business 20 years ago, I didn't talk to other businesses about my business. You know, if I had questions, if I didn't know something, you know, maybe I had friends or relatives, but I didn't get together with other businesses, you know, God forbid, and share my fears or my doubts or my uncertainties. you know, heaven forbid, I always had to act like I had all the answers. So I think that's why a lot of businesses got in trouble, quite frankly, over the last year. That's a real simple, broad answer, but I think that when people are faced with challenges that they've never seen before, as you've said, they have no experience to draw upon, and they don't go talk to anybody else, gee, big surprise, they make big mistakes. And you see some major corporations, banks and companies, you know, General Motors goes bankrupt, Citibank, you know, all these huge, intelligent people. How else to explain it? You know, maybe greed was part of it, but I think it's just that isolation that added to it. So I think you're on the cutting edge of that.
I agree, and the business model that that is the CEO peer groups that we deliver on the Renaissance Executive Forums brand really reinforces that, that when you bring together the right group of people, the kind of shared learning that can happen, and many times the avoidance of a bad decision happens as well, but also the awakening to new business opportunities and to new ventures happens from that. And I have to admit that at times our members within the Executive Forum's peer group business have given us invaluable insight into the radio station format. Many of them are loyal listeners, maybe listening to us today, right now, as we broadcast live this radio show, maybe listening to us future as they download it. But that experience, where not only we, the professional facilitators, but they gave back to us their insights that really helped us fine-tune, I think, why the show has been so successful, is that we're getting constant real-time feedback, not only from the current set of guests that we're planning for the show, but listening audience and past guests who stay in our life and help us, you know, because they've seen the value of what we're doing to continue to improve it.
So here you are bringing businesses together to make better, more informed decisions, as you say. And you start off doing this through peer groups, and now you're expanding into other services, strategic planning. I know you talked about one of your previous shows, customer peer groups and other sorts of ways to bring information to businesses so they can make better decisions. And I think that it's only appropriate that the way you spread this message, the way you evangelize to the world, is through an innovative medium that very few people know exists, very few people are using it, like internet radio. I think that's only appropriate. If you're on the cutting edge of a concept, why not use a cutting edge way to communicate it?
Well, you know, and I have to tell you, I've talked to between 100 and 200 people preparing the 100 guests that we've had on this show, because mm-hmm. I'm working now into February of 2010, getting our guests ready for their appearance on a radio show, because, you know, we've worked out a process that really makes it comfortable for our guests to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And as we have built that, we went into this not knowing, frankly, how many people, business, hard-charging, very busy business owners and top executives in Orange County would be willing to take time not only to appear on the show for a half hour or an hour, but to prepare to appear on the show, which is, frankly, about a two-hour commitment, if not a little bit longer, in getting them ready and going through the process. And when you look back at the nearly 100 guests that we had, it is amazing the range of people that have given up their time because they see the value in this medium. And the idea that we're doing this radio show on cutting-edge technology like your radio station, octalkradio.net,
yeah,
reaching such a large, defined audience. As you know, our weekly announcements that highlight our coming guests go to 950 business owners and top executives, predominantly here in Orange County, but throughout Southern California, and frankly, there are some from around the world who want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an audience base that has agreed to receive these emails because they're interested, frankly, not probably in every guest, but in enough of the guests that they continue to give it their attention to see who we're bringing on and what the topics are. And this vehicle of internet radio, even a year ago this time, the perception and the acceptance of the marketplace to the idea that this show is hosted on that, it is now amazing to me how well-received the concept of this show being aired live on internet radio stations is by the majority of the business owners and top executives.
Have you ever struggled getting? It doesn't seem like you've ever struggled to fill the time to find guests to fill up your show with interesting people. I mean, today you had to bump somebody. I know they actually called up and wanted to be on today here. You know, and I had suggested.
And that was my fault because I miscommunicated when our guest would be on the show.
But I had suggested we do take a look at it. You've really done something phenomenal over the last year. So have you struggled? I don't think you've had trouble getting anybody on your show.
Have I? Let's see. As you recall, when you were our first guest, we spent an hour with you. And at that time, back in March, we had scheduled one show a week and mm-hmm. one guest for the entire hour. We quickly realized that when we started talking with potential radio show guests, that the interest would allow us to change the show format and bring on two guests a show. Mm-hmm. And then last summer, you'll recall, we decided to go to two shows a week with, on average, two guests a show because of the interest level and support that we were seeing in the community. And then here, when we moved to octalkradio.net earlier in the fall, we went to the format of three shows, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, our format with, on average, you know, two guests a show. And as I said earlier in our conversation here today, Doug and I are currently working with guests who will appear in February. January, all 24 slots are locked and loaded, and we're now in the process of developing show format questions to help them prepare for their appearance.
So for a brand new show on a brand new medium to immediately be able to fill up 24 guests a month in advance, I think is phenomenal. And I think that it shows the possibilities that are present with some of the new medium. On your very first show, you won't remember this, but I remember talking about this on your very first show, and you said, what's changed in the last 20 years? You guys are always looking for, as you say, transferable learning events, ideas that people can learn from. And I said, well, I've been doing public relations and marketing for 20 years. There's one thing that I've seen dramatically change. You can talk directly to your customers. You don't have to go through a middleman. You don't have to pay a newspaper to run an ad. You don't have to pay a radio station to put on a commercial. You don't have to beg a producer to let you on the morning show. You can publish your own material and disseminate it to people directly through your website and white papers and books and stuff. You can engage them in a conversation through blogs and Twitter, and you can actually talk with them. You can actually start a conversation and continue it over time directly. I think that's phenomenal, and I don't think we fully appreciate how that's going to change the way business works. It's changed the way the record companies have worked. Artists are now recording and cutting out the middleman. They're selling directly to the public. It's changing the way movies and other things are being distributed. It's going straight from the producer to the public. But I don't think businesses have really realized the power that they have there to reach customers. It doesn't bring you an audience immediately. Just the fact that you come on the radio doesn't mean anybody's listening, or the fact that you start a blog doesn't mean anybody reads it. But it gives you a medium as you meet people. It gives you a medium that allows you to meet people, and as you meet them, to build and continue a conversation. I think that's phenomenal, and I think that's what you guys have done.
Well, thank you. And just to build on that point briefly, my view of technology, for years I was in technology sales, and that was in the late 80s,
ooh,
and 90s.
Wow. Did they have technology back then?
Well, there were a lot of broken promises around some of the technology,
yes,
that I had and some of the technology that I saw in the marketplace. Earlier this year, we interviewed two gentlemen who run businesses that do business process reengineering by removing the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Going paperless is a secondary benefit of the business process reengineering. And when we talked with Les Wachter of Data Source and Tom Ziancina of DataNet Solutions, and I did that show, and I had, that might have been the first show where we had two guests on at the same time. Matter of fact, I think that was, and that was back in April.
Mm-hmm.
we talked about how in the 80s everybody was going to go paperless, and that sort of didn't really happen in any large scale, but rather now it's a more intelligent application of business process improvement that allows people to go paperless. So I've seen technology for quite a number of years, more than maybe I'd like to admit, although I just put it out there and told you what that was. I see it as a great equalizer if used intelligently. And as you say with the term social media and social media marketing, the tools are now in place that allow a business owner and top executive to develop a personal conversation with customers and prospective customers. And that is very powerful.
Very.
And Doug and I are looking at how does that social media element really become involved with us as we do launch our customer advisory board business here in 2010, because the simple act of a company attempting to and wanting to listen to their clients and to the market has a very positive impact on the brand of that company.
Mm-hmm.
And the tools that are available today, whether it be an interactive radio show on an internet radio station such as octalkradio.net or Facebook or these other areas, and believe me, I don't profess to be an expert in social media marketing. What I am is an very interested user of the tools in a business setting that I believe is beginning to show the potential inherent in the technology.
When I was a kid growing up in the Midwest, and you grew up in Pittsburgh, I grew up in Detroit and other places like that, Minnesota, there was always some brave soul that was the first one to head out after a snowstorm before the plows had come and wanted to create the track that everybody else would follow. I think you guys are creating a track. They're not always a home run. You've tried lots of different things in your year here, but you've got some amazing home runs. Let me just give you some statistics on your show here. You average at least 50 listeners every show. You've had as many as 100. You have, and even more impressively, after the show airs, as you know, we record these and make them available as downloadable files, as podcasts, as they're popularly called. So if you miss the live one, you can listen to it later. And you've had over 1,000 downloads. I think that's incredible. For a show that appeared out of nowhere with no advance warning that just hit the internet, and yes, you started promoting it within your own network of friends and clients and customers and acquaintances, but it's caught on. And what business today wouldn't want to start a conversation with 20 other businesses each month? What business out there wouldn't want to have an audience of 20, 50, 100 people listening to them every week? What business wouldn't want to get the feedback that comes from that, of talking to these people and hearing what's out there? What business wouldn't want to set themselves apart from all the others and say, and take the time as you guys to do, to say, look, we're not getting anything out of this other than, yes, it makes you aware that we're out there, and we're sharing information in the hope that partly it'll highlight what we do and partly it'll help somebody else. You know, that's a lot of things that nobody else is doing out there. And I hear a lot of people crabbing and complaining. Times are tough. I hear a lot of people saying, all I got to do is hunker down and wait for the storm to blow over. And you guys are out there making the track in the snow here for everybody else to follow.
Well, that's an interesting analogy that you use. I love to watch the Weather Channel this time of the year, having grown up in the East Coast in Pittsburgh. My wife's from Buffalo. And,
oh, that's even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it gives me great joy to sit there and see the weather that's happening every place other than where I live.
Right.
We tend to have mild winters here in California. Not everything that we have tried has gotten the kind of reception that we had hoped for. And as you know from working with me for as long as we've worked together, I'm not good in between the original thought and acceptance that this is a good idea and the full implementation when it is up and running and there's a process to it that is predictable.
No,
that
time, jump right in. Yeah.
Yeah. That time between, okay, we've agreed, let's do it, and, wow, look at the results that we're getting, and now how do we fine-tune this thing that's really delivering us the, you know, the expected return on investment, for me is a kind of is a nightmare, frankly, because I'm frustrated because I can see the I can see the potential of it, but yet I'm not realizing it, but yet I'm still putting all the work into it, and frankly, in some cases, even more work than I had expected to.
Right.
But we're not getting there yet. It seems to me we are now starting to get, with the move to octalkradio.net, with the ever continuous learning that goes on around this radio show, and the good karma, frankly, that has been developed by Doug and I doing the show with integrity, because I've been to enough events, business events, to know that, unfortunately, all too often, people come to an event not with a service first mentality, but rather a, I think I can get something out of this if I show up. But now, how do I make sure I get something out of it now that I'm here? And I think when that self-talk goes on in people's heads, I do think for whatever reason, it doesn't allow them to really get the true value of the event. Doug and I came into this radio show saying, we know business owners learn from the experiences of one another, but what we do with our Renaissance peer groups is confidential information, and we're really bound not to talk about that. So how do we demonstrate that to people? The book was my earlier attempt at documenting 10 examples with, you know, with real life name change kind of things, but real experiences that I was participating in to help people see it. Now this radio show, the fact that we're almost to 100 guests, is the book times 10 in its first year of real life experiences that are being shared with nothing expected back from our radio show guests are not expecting anything back other than the fact that they can have an opportunity to share what they know.
And you talk about that a lot, and I got to be honest, I'll admit this for the first time. When I first met you, you talked a lot about service first and all that. And I said, yeah, that sounds nice, but who really does that? Come on, we're all out. What's in it for me? What do I get? And we're taught that that's good. You know, and if you meet two people and I get something out of it and you get something out of it, then that's a win-win situation, and that's the best world possible. But you continue to amaze me, you and Doug both, by the work that you do, not just the volunteer work you do with charities and other things, but the work you do with people above and beyond what's asked for. And it's always the same answer. You know, we're going to put it out there, and we trust that somehow it's going to come back. That sounds a little karma, a little new age-ish, but you guys really live and breathe it, and my hat's off to you. And I think maybe that's a way out of this mess that the country's gotten themselves into, because Lord knows that hasn't been the way business has been for the last decades. You know, it's all me first, and what do I get? Short-term thinking, and all of a sudden there's a big mess like this. I mean, do you see this as a new medium or new model here that will help us out?
Well, I think you're, as you're explaining it from your perspective, I'm thinking about, the fact that those organizations who are willing to give away something of value, whether it be a white paper on their website, whether it be a webinar where they're going to talk about things that they could frankly charge for but choose to offer it for free, those people that are willing to work for, whether it be a nonprofit or other organizations, for no money, just the opportunity to help, What I'm observing here, in, at least in the Orange County marketplace, and I think it transfers outside of our market too, is that the willingness to give away valuable content with really no way to trap the person. You know, in the early days, you'd have to give us your email and all your personal information, and then we'd give you this white paper, which may or may not be worth something. But now we've got your email, and the next thing you know, they're marketing the heck out of you because you were foolish enough to give your contact information. Those business models, in my opinion, do not stand the test of time. It is some of these as you know, in our August executive conference, we invited in Damian Navarro from Earthbound Media Group, mm-hmm. who spoke to our group, really because we asked him.
Very and smart spoke, guy who does a lot of social media marketing with big major corporations, yeah.
Exactly, ConocoPhillips and others, as well as helping a restaurant, right? Because he gave me an example of a local restaurant here in Orange County that he frequents, and he wanted to help them with his social media tools. But he did that because of the relationship that Doug and I have with him. He gave of his time freely, and he gave away some really great information that I'm always interested, because I think back to my Fortune 500 big corporate days at how guarded some of the companies that I've worked for in the past were with information that now I see if they would have been willing to share it without any expectation of something back. I think that mentality might have helped them actually secure more new clients rather than giving away something that they could have gotten some amount of incremental revenue for.
Well, the classic example is your friend's favorite company, Apple, which has made a tremendous comeback with technology. But for a long time, people thought they blew it. You know, they had a wonderful, probably the better platform, and they kept it proprietary. They didn't open it up to other people to manufacture Apple machines. And so the software people said, I can't make enough money just writing for them. And IBM comes along and says, we'll give it to everybody, and we don't care if there's 1,000 people making them just like us and using this strange thing called Windows to mimic Apple. And they overtook them and left Apple in a very small position because they chose to hold on to that and keep it exclusive. And I don't think that's the way of the world in the Internet and new technology and the new thinking.
Yeah, they survived that because of there are a couple – pillars that Doug and I work with our members pretty consistently on, and Doug in his coaching I know really explores. One of them is differentiation of your business. Mm-hmm. You know, Doug and I believe, and our research has shown, that about 80% of the issues and opportunities that a top executive or business owner faces are common with those of peers of similarly sized businesses, regardless of their industry. Many times when we say that to people many people accept that, some do not, and so we have to do a little bit more explaining to help them see that that is the reality, because in fact it is true. But across industries, it is amazing to me how hard to create a differentiated business model that resonates with customers over the long term and is somewhat defensible from a smart competitor who realizes what you're selling is valuable and tries to mimic you, is for business owners. But when they create that differentiation that is really true, that is, you know, we've had several guests on over the course of this past year either talking about differentiation or talking about brand. I'm thinking of Dr. Coley, who both spoke at our August mm-hmm. event and was also here a recent radio show guest of mine, who does a lot of work with large companies here in Orange County on brand identity. But those two are so linked. And what I believe that Doug and I are doing is not only coaching our clients, our members, to look for differentiation, we're practicing. I can't hear that word without thinking of Allen Iverson, but nonetheless, we're practicing, a differentiated business model here in critical mass for business.
Yeah, well, you certainly are. Well, one of the things you talk about all the time, you've now got drilled into my head, a buzzword that I never heard before, and I'm leery of buzzwords. You know, they're catchy terms, and you say it catches your attention. It's like something buzzing in the back, and then you say, well, what does that really mean, though? What is a transferable learning event?
Thank you. You know, when we say our research shows that 80% of the issues are common, what we find when we sit down and talk to a business owner, and, you know, the kind of people that have agreed to come on our show, because not everybody that I've talked to has agreed to come on our show, and that's fine. You know, I didn't expect everybody to say yes. But they're humble. They say, well, I don't really know what people are going to learn from me and from my little business or my big business or my little career or my big career. You know, it doesn't matter how much they've achieved or how big their span of responsibility is. There's this innate humility about them. And what we find is through just the conversation about what issues are you facing or have you faced, and they start to talk about their business and the things that they've been able to do inside their business to create a thriving business. Because as you know, Paul, very few businesses in the U.S. make it to 10 years. Oh. The statistics are 4% of all businesses that get started see their 10-year anniversary.
We'd never 4%. Go into business. Yeah, nobody'd ever go into business if they really believed that or knew that.
Right, everybody believes they're that 4%, yeah. Which, okay, they should be. That's why they're entrepreneurs. And maybe not this time, but eventually, maybe they will be part of that 4%. My partner, Doug, been in business for 15 years. He's clearly part of that 4%. I'm going on my third year, and through my working with Doug, it's really kind of accelerated our business here together. But my point is, a transferable learning event is exactly that. It is a moment in time. It is an experience that a guest has. It is a knowledge base that they have that they think is unique or specialized to their situation or business or industry that we, by virtue of asking them about it and talking about it on the radio show, actually allow other business owners and top executives to say, you know, the situation's slightly different and the names are different, but I've had a very similar, or I have a very similar situation to what this individual is talking about. And by virtue of understanding how they successfully addressed it or not, I can now take that knowledge and that learning and apply it in my business. Hence, it's transferable from one business owner to another.
So we really can learn from each other?
I think... it's proven. The peer group business model that I write about in Critical Mass, that Doug has been leading here for 15 years in Orange County, validates every month that when you bring together 10 top executives, key executives with similarly sized businesses, they very definitely learn from each other. I had a peer group today. Doug and I were leading a peer group today for our entrepreneurial forum. It's for business owners who are running businesses with, you know, $3 million or less in revenue, or they're, you know, starting out. And one of our members commented as we were talking about a topic for another member that while I'm listening to this, I'm applying a lot of what's being said to the other member to my personal professional situation. So again, it's just...
Then why are we so hesitant to learn from each other? Why are we so insistent upon making the same mistakes? And I'll give you a tangible example. I obviously own OC Talk Radio now. This is an extension of 20 years of trying to be at the forefront of communication and helping clients communicate their message to people. And I thought this was a powerful way that hadn't really been developed yet. But through the years of working with people for public relations and marketing stuff, I can't tell you the number of times I've come in and been hired as an expert on a certain subject. And I pass on not just my belief, but my experience. You know, what they're really buying is not just my creative intelligence. They're hopefully buying my experience with other clients. And so I come in and say, this is what I saw work here. This is what I saw didn't work. And people listen politely, and then they go on and do exactly what they want. And I can't tell you the number of times I felt like, why am I here? If all you want me to do is validate what you're already doing, I'm not the person to do that. If you want somebody to challenge what you're doing, and that's why you brought me in, because there's a problem, something's not working as to the level you thought, then why are you so hesitant to learn from other people? And I don't find people, they say they are, they read books, they listen to stuff, but I don't see them incorporate that and do that. Is that old school thinking? Am I just jaded after 20 years of this, or is that, do you see that out there too? Is it something we have to break through?
I think I have two points to make, and I'll try to be quick in both of them. Texas Christian University, it's TCU, it's where LaDainian Tomlinson went to school. It's also, they're having a very successful year in college football. But their business school did a survey of the county. It's Tarrant County, and it's kind of the Orange County to Dallas, if you want to think of, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth. Right. Area is LA. This is the next county over. Large business population. They did a survey, and what they found was that the failure rates of small businesses in that county mimicked the national average, and so they were very bad, frankly, that, you know, 80% of the businesses don't make it to their five-year anniversary, and another 8% don't make it to the 10-year. So the 4% businesses make it to their 10-year anniversary. So that was very real and evident. But what was more interesting, obviously for me, is that when they looked at that population of how many of business owners that were in peer groups, that where they learned from the experiences of others, zero of the businesses that were in their sampling that had the business owner or top executive, a member of a peer group, failed over that same time horizon. They defied the odds.
You got to say that again. Zero failed just of the people who participated in the peer group.
Right. And so it caused me, Doug and I, to reflect on, well, what does that mean? And what we believe is it reflects two things. First of all, Paul, not every business owner is a candidate for a CEO peer group. They're just not. It needs to be a certain model of a, first of all, a lifelong learner.
Yeah.
Someone who's open to new ideas. Someone who believes in
this,
has humility that they may not have all the answers. And so when you put that type of a person in a room, you have a differentiated business owner to begin with.
Right.
That's not
your average business owner, right? Most of them think they know all the answers. That's why they went into their own business.
Possibly. And when you put nine other of those people around that individual, you all of a sudden create, and you know, the book Critical Mass talks about that, and our experience in peer groups really drives that home. You've created this environment that somewhat may insulate them from the other business owners they're competing with. Against who don't get the benefit of nine other lifelong learners who are open to new ideas, who have a service first mentality. And you know what I'm just saying? So it's partly that the individual is a different type of a person, and the experience is such a different type of experience that it really can be transformational for that business owner's business as well as for themselves.
I'm going to share with the audience from the time remaining here. We have about 15 or 20 minutes left in the hour. And I could talk about this forever because I've been watching this from the sidelines. I'm watching you guys develop this different approach to doing business, coming together and creating a critical mass. I'm watching the effect it had on me and others that have participated in it. And I'm watching this thing prosper and grow. And I'll share with you some of the things. You've actually got me hooked on listening to this show. I obviously help engineer it for you, but that doesn't mean I have to sit and listen to it all day long. We have other shows that I frankly don't listen to all day long because this is, we're trying to reach a wide range of audiences here. And I took some notes just of things that popped into my head of guests you've had. And I'll start with this one. So many of the times you'll have somebody on and they have some small business and I'll think, oh boy, this is going to be dull. I'm not going to learn anything from Joe's print shop or Tony's pizzeria or something here. And in some cases, those are the most interesting people because they're real, they're honest, and they talk about the real experience. And I'll give you two examples of that come to my mind. You're going to have to help me with the names. I'm sorry, I don't remember all their names perfectly. Who is the woman that has the concrete company, she and her husband?
Rita Ferguson.
Rita Ferguson. And she was so honest about breaking into the construction business and being a woman, and you know, and everybody wanted, she's running the company and her husband's out, you know, running the jobs, and everybody's like, well, when does he get back? I'll talk to him when he gets back, you know. And how she had to prove herself in a man's world. That's something that I'm sure a lot of women go through, but you don't hear people talking about that bluntly or honestly, that whole experience that you went through. And the other one is Liz Haddix, who was on recently. Right. Who has a space planning business, a space planner. I'm like, what could I learn from somebody who's a space planner? And she's talking about, well, gee, you know, all the commercial stuff has stopped, and that means there's no space planning. So rather than sit around and fire everybody and wait for things to get better, she says, what other niche could I go after? I'm a, you know, little company, not totally by myself, but I'm not huge, huge company. And she decides to go into this government world and finds out why nobody gets into it, because it's very confusing. It's very hard to figure out. Yes, there are government programs, particularly for women-owned businesses and minority business and other things, but nobody's there to tell you how to do this thing. And that story that she did was fascinating to me. And so there's two examples of people that I thought, I'm going to have absolutely nothing to learn from today's thing. I might as well turn these guests off. And both of them I found not only fascinating, but in Liz's cases in particular, I found it very informative. And I know that you've had people write in and react about some of these shows and like, God, you know, tell me more. So I hear what you're saying. Those are two examples that come to my mind.
And those are good examples of how, I don't know how much further away from Rhea Ferguson's experience your business experience is, because, you know, she's in construction, you're in public relations, and
totally,
there's the obvious
yeah.
difference that she, you know, whatever. But the opportunity to get exposed to people, and generally people that join CEO peer groups are successful businesses to begin with, that if you look at the there are tens of thousands of members of peer groups around the world. This is crosses cultures, it crosses time zones, it crosses whatever you want. If you mapped it, you would see that this is a global phenomenon that has been around for decades. Doug's been doing it for 15 years here in Orange County. But when, you know, you have to ask yourself, how do I put a price tag on a good idea?
Yeah,
because once an individual is exposed to a good idea, it has this domino effect of all subsequent decisions are kind of predicated off of that new idea, that if you didn't have that idea, where would you be? And if you get a couple percentage point improvement in your business each year consistently over what you would have gotten anyway because you're a successful business owner, then where does your business project it out 10 years? Where is it versus where it would be? Both may be attractive businesses. One may be more attractive because it's bigger or something, or, and this is kind of more important to me, you as the leader of your firm may have had more satisfaction in running that business because some of the uncertainty that's inherent with being the boss of a business is removed because you're not having to make all the final decisions yourself. You can bet them against some pretty knowledgeable peers who will give you feedback that maybe you wouldn't get anywhere else, which may allow you over time to make better, more informed decisions.
That's called covering your bet. And I think you cover that in a chapter called insurance in your book there, you know, where you got some reason or rationale to back you up here. I'll give you some other examples here. I just jotted some down today here. You had two guests on back to back. One was with you and one was with Doug. And I'm trying to remember the two companies. One guy had a company that was air conditioning. I think he was actually not the owner of it. I think he was like the general manager or something of an air conditioning company here. And then the other guy was in insurance. I'm sorry, not a travel agent. And
right.
They both said something, maybe it's because I heard them back to back 2 days, that surprised me. We're living in a world without jobs. The recovery is a jobless recovery. Companies are figuring out how to do more with less people. That's the topic I hear every night in the evening news. And so even though the corporate bottom line is picking up, the unemployment's still shockingly high, or the underemployment is even higher because they're doing it without hiring a lot of people. And so here's two guys that come on and said, one of the problems we've seen in two totally different industries, we can't get young people to join up. We can't recruit young people who want to go into air conditioning, HVAC. We can't find young people who want to be a travel agent. Gee, that sounds like a dying profession or something here. And yet they both pointed out tremendous opportunities there, growth that they've experienced in both of those areas by differentiating themselves, by finding something unique, and how they can't recruit people to it. And I thought, wow, I wish I could broadcast that on the NBC News. That's not the kind of positive story I'm hearing. You guys do a lot of that. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, that's a good example, because when you talk about Craig Carter from Lux Travel Management, who's running a $300 million travel agency, I mean, it's a huge organization. The only successful startup travel agency, if you want to think of it that way, that's been launched in Orange County, I think he said, since the mid-90s.
Something like that.
Nonetheless. Yeah. So he exposes me to that concept as well. So I happen to know the director of extended education at one of the local community colleges because I've served on a task force with him. And a lot of what the community colleges are trying to do is figure out how to differentiate and offer education around the needs of the community.
Sure.
Well, over cocktails at a holiday party this past weekend, Dave and I started to have this conversation. And he, because of his responsibility for the community college system here in Orange County, he's interested in trying to understand better how they might be able to offer some type of a curriculum or some type of counseling. Doesn't really know yet, and neither do I, but maybe there's an opportunity to form a partnership between industry and education that could address this issue. And I hope that I can play a small part in at least helping to prepare some students for a career in a profession that maybe they hadn't considered before, because I think you're right. When people start to hear, hey, there are jobs in this industry, but, you know, I didn't even know people are still going into being a travel agent.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I thought that was all going to Expedia,
yeah.
But it's not.
I did too, because people are looking for service like he's doing. And you know, he's proven that for big corporate clients, he can actually save them money. Well, those are the kinds of things, you know, when I've participated in your peer groups, when I've come to your conference, when I read what I think is fascinating, how you guys are starting to quantify some of this anecdotal evidence from the trenches, you know, what's happened there on the front line, and you start publishing this OC index, and you find out that, I don't remember the exact statistics, but a shockingly large number of people, while they all recognize the times are tough, have already started making money or seen the turnaround. That was last summer. You know, maybe there is light at the end of the tunnel here. You know, the kind of evidence you're collecting through these exchanges on the radio, in your peer groups, you know, in your networking, in your forums, I think it's fascinating, and I don't think there's enough of that kind of information percolating up to the people at the top here. I think I don't want to rag on the media and the politicians and all that kind of stuff, but they all sort of follow a trend. If the sky's falling, then they all run around the sky's falling, and it just makes it even worse here. And you guys always seem to be not trying to be unrealistic, but to look for those positive elements that people can build upon here.
I went to it must have been in the late 90s. I went to a series of seminars that were put on by Anthony Robbins, and I was impressed with his ability to motivate large number of people to do things that were, me being one of them at one point, I had myself walk across a bed of hot coals.
Yep, that was his thing for a long time, to show possibilities, right.
Yeah, and to prove to yourself that you can do things. The opportunity to interview successful business people who have had struggles and have overcome them, or who are currently dealing with struggles, because in many ways the economy has touched a lot of businesses and kind of forced them to recreate themselves. What it's convinced me of and demonstrated to me is that it's, and I learned this in kind of in one of Tony's sessions, which was, you kind of see what you want to see in a situation.
Yes.
You can look at the facts, and they will either prove A or prove B, and the only difference is who's looking at those facts. Now, I'm not saying delude yourself, but I'm saying, if you're expecting to see bad news, you will find the bad news. If you're expecting to see opportunity, you will begin to find opportunity. People who belong to groups like Doug and I lead here in Orange County are possibility thinkers. And when you put possibility thinkers in a room together and they start to look for ways to help one another by active listening, and by giving unfiltered feedback and constructive criticism, it can truly be transformational for the member who's not only receiving it, but also giving it. We had one of our members today say, some of the best ideas I've come up with happen when I'm talking. And then I listen to what I say, and I go, wow, that was really a good idea. And there are all those people. Right? And I don't think it was an ego thing that he was saying at all. He was just saying, by active listening and then engaging and thinking it through to formulate my what I'm saying, out of my mouth come really good ideas. And I believe him to be true because he's a successful entrepreneur of technology. And so then to be in the audience with him where he's doing that for you on a challenge that you have, what is the value of that?
Yeah. It puts you in a different frame of mind, I'll say that. And again, where I thought some of these shows were going to be, quite frank, to tell you, deadly dull talking to somebody about their business, I find some of those shows the most interesting because people are the most honest. They haven't been coached. Like, I'm sorry to say, so many PR people have coached, you know, corporate executives and politicians to give these safe, bland, say nothing kind of answers. You know, it's unfiltered. It's straight from the heart. And when I've sat in peer groups with you, yeah, I've been on the hot seat several times. It gets uncomfortable. And you start to say, what the heck am I doing here? I don't need people telling me, pointing out my flaws or something here, but you do. And so I think it's, I don't know where it all goes from here. I don't know where it goes in 2010, but it's been a fascinating ride to watch over 2009. I'll tell you that. It really has been.
Well, Doug and I are very thankful to have had the opportunity to be a part of so many of the business owners and top executives' lives here in Orange County, and to get the kind of reception to our business that we've had, you know, by being able to double the members in 2009. And frankly, 2009 for many businesses was a challenging year, even if their business, because you're right, in our OC index, you know, we've had, in the first one we published earlier this year, we had somewhere in the mid-teens of people that said that their company was growing. In the fourth quarter survey that came out in October, that number was up in the mid-20s of companies who said, I'm growing today. And we expect that number to improve probably in the first quarter as we continue to sample our you know, our listeners to the radio show and get their feedback. As business continues to move in a positive direction, Doug and I believe that we'll be touching and helping even more people in 2010 than we helped in 2009, because when we have an opportunity to work with an individual or have them on the radio show, we now have radio past radio show guests recommending future radio show guests because they know business leaders who they think, one, have good information to transfer to our listening audience, and two, would be the kind of person that would be willing to spend the time to prepare to be on a radio show the way that we require our guests to be prepared to be on the show.
Would you, as we wrap this up, would you promise me to do two things in 2010? One, I hope that you will, at some point, compile some of these interesting stories and tidbits and ideas for people that didn't get a chance to listen to all the shows and publish them in some format. I think that would be a fascinating book to look at. You know, lessons learned from talking to 100 local business owners. Could you do something like that, or would you ever consider doing something? I know that would be a time consumer, but...
I'm glad you mentioned that because The Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers, was the first book in the Critical Mass series of books. The next book that Doug and I are planning to bring to market in 2010 is just that, Paul, is a sampling of the radio show interviews.
Good. It's needed.
And taking some of those moments and going a little bit deeper with the radio show guest in a similar format to Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers did with its real-life examples of how the power has affected a member. So, no, we're going to, and our current plan and our business strategy is probably to do at least a book a year based on the experiences of what our guests are, because it is the amount of powerful information that sets inside those interviews, it's really astounding. And we would like to make it in a different format so that for people that don't listen to the shows can get it by being able to read it or getting an ebook or something in the future as well.
There are nuggets of gold in gold. Everybody's story. And everybody loves to hear stories. Everybody loves to tell stories, particularly their own story. And I have learned so much listening to other stories about what's possible and things I never thought of and industries I never would have explored. I just think that's fascinating to hear that. Well, and the last thing I'm going to request from you is, can we come back at the end of 2010 and do this again and compare what you've learned in 2010 to 2009? Because I think I really enjoy watching this arc. I have lots of clients, and I enjoy working with all of them in different ways, shapes, and forms. But this one's been a real kick to me, not just because you guys are open to new ideas and willing to try things like internet radio, but because you're on the cutting edge of what I think is a new way of business that I hope will come out of these crises. I hope out of the problems that we've had, something new will be born. And I think you guys are onto something, and I'd like to tag along and watch it, if nothing else here.
Well, you know, first of all, we refer to next year as 2010.
Yep. Did I say 2010?
A couple times, and wow. I think you would be well served to call it 2010.
I think the cutting edge content, and I've heard this discussion. Which should it be? It's 2010, and we're going to make that official right now.
As far as I'm concerned, it's 2010. And it's hard to believe that we're moving into the second decade of this new century, because I kind of remember the turn of the century is not that long ago. But,
yeah.
You know, I believe emphatically that you learn most from doing. If you have a good idea, implement it as fast as possible and watch the results and improve the process in action, because I don't really think until it is put into motion. Today, Boeing did their first test flight of their new luxury liner,
yeah,
right?
I saw that, right? 2 years later, whatever it was there.
But there were a lot of things that the engineers believed were going to happen, but until those test pilots got up in the air and they flew that jet, they really didn't know.
Yeah.
And now they know, and now they have data that they can go back to the lab and work on to improve whatever it is that they misunderstood or didn't engineer correctly the first time around. That's how I feel about a good idea. And the things that Doug and I are working on to improve the business are sort of in that incubator stage right now in the lab. I want to get them into the marketplace, because I'll tell you what, in my experience, your customers, potential customers, and partners will help you improve the process if you're open to listening to how it could be improved to meet their expectations. So, you know, we're going to... I didn't expect to be here when we started this radio show in March. I don't know where we're going to be next year when we're sitting down talking about it, as far as what the radio show has changed into. But what I do believe is the radio show, the CEO peer groups, the coaching, the strategic planning, the customer advisory boards, the chairman's forum that we're launching, those will all be out and thriving, and we'll probably have another set of ideas that we're going to be working on to launch in 2011.
Well, I eagerly look forward to which way the tracks are going to lead in the snowfall next year. And I'm there. I'm following you. You know, you're plowing through the snow. I'm happy to follow along here. I think it's a fascinating ride, and I invite anybody who's listening to join with you. How do they reach you? How do they tune into the show? Is there a way to subscribe to it, all that kind of stuff? I already know there is.
Yeah, so. I got to say, you know, you're modest, but as someone who's been instrumental in the some of the bright ideas that we then refine and implement, you have had your fair share of good ideas in this ongoing business relationship, and I value that element of how you approach, you know.
Well, it's helping everybody in my field. I don't think I'm alone in thinking that we have some creativity to it, and we're always eager to have people try things. It's almost like an experiment for us too, I'm sorry to say. And you've been so open to trying stuff and willing to just, okay, if that, you put up your objections, you say what you think, and then if I can make a case, you try it, by God. And that's rare. That is really rare. Most people are stuck in the snow, stuck, trying to follow the same path over and over and over again. And it's very hard to get people to change. It's very hard, even when you present them with new ideas. I don't see a lot of receptive people out there. Maybe more today because times are tough. But, you know, I'll return the compliments. It's been a pleasure to work with you guys because you're so willing to try things.
So if people are wanting to find out what's going on with the radio show part of Critical Mass for Business, I would direct you to octalkradio.net. You do a very good job of featuring not only our current shows, but talking about kind of coming events and future guests, and people can get RSS feeds and subscribe to it automatically. We're always interested in adding people to our database of opt-in emails that we can notify people on a weekly basis of what's going on. And you can do that by just reaching out to Doug or to myself. Our website is Critical Mass for Business, Critical Mass for FOR Business. That's our brand here in Orange County, California, with the variety of services that we've talked about at length here today. And what I know is that when people are when the right kind of people, lifelong learners, the things that we talked about earlier, are exposed to the concept of what Doug and I are doing, they're drawn to learning more about it and considering being a part of it in some way, because they see the different value that it can bring to them. And so our job is really, as business owners ourselves, is really just to continue to promote the vision of the brand and to talk about how it helps people today, knowing that the people that are right for it will find us because they'll be drawn to it because of its differentiation.
Well, and keep plowing a path for others to follow here. Well, thank you so much for all that you've done this year. I look forward to next year, and I get a chance to do something that I do at the end of every one of your shows. I get to. Are we ready to wrap up? Is there anything else you want to add? Or
I'm good to go.
I'm ready to do the. I'm ready to do the outro here for all of us at OC Talk Radio. You've been listening to Critical Mass, the best business show on the best internet radio station, OC Talk Radio. Welcome, everybody, to the West.